Okay. I tell you, every week it gets harder and harder to follow that. They're good. Don't you love the worship time? Isn't it great? Yes, thank you. You can tell the love of the Lord in each one of them because, first of all, they're doing this out of the kindness of their heart. They're giving their time. You know, you're coming every Friday, and then every Sunday you're doing it. Yeah, I am. We're going to double your salary next year, so just look forward to that, okay? All right. How many of you have ever heard the term circuit riders? Circuit riders were preachers back in the 1700s and 1800s who would ride from church to church to have a service. And there were more churches than there were preachers, so the circuit riders would go from church to church. So one circuit rider was out riding one afternoon and came upon a man who was out working in his field. And trying to start a conversation how to invite him to church, the preacher called out, "Fine day, isn't it?" "Well, it's fine for you," the man replied. "All you have to do is ride around and think about God. Well, I have to sweat here in the field and then walk home afterward. I don't think it's right that you should have things so easy. Why I have to work so hard?" The preacher responded, "You're right. You do work hard in the fields, and I admire that. But you need to realize that the kind of work I do is a different kind of work." "Yeah, sure," the man answered, "but it's really not work. All you do is ride around on your horse thinking about God all the time. That's not hard." "Oh, but it's harder than you think," the preacher said. And then a thought occurred to him. "I'll tell you what. Just to prove how difficult it can be to think about God, if you can think about God and nothing else for 1 minute, I'll give you my horse." "You can't be serious," the farmer said. But the preacher assured him he was. "Well, you're on," the man said, and immediately sat down in silence. 10 seconds went by. 20 seconds went by. 25 seconds went by. About then, the farmer looked up at the minister and said, "Does that include the saddle?" Crickets. Circuit rider was out to... You don't understand. Oh, never mind. Well, no, it's like I expected a little chuckle or something. Yeah, I work hard for these. Yeah, where's the drum? Anyway, all this man had to do to get the horse was to think about nothing for 1 minute. All he had to do was think about God and nothing else and not say anything for 60 seconds. But he couldn't do that. So let's read Psalm 46. Moving on. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose stream shall be made glad, shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God's in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her. Just as at the break of dawn, the nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come back, come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Isn't that good? Yes. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. That's what we're going to talk about today. That's what I want us to focus on. And it sounds like God is asking us to be still. Just be quiet in his presence and know that he is God. Just be like the farmer, or don't be like the farmer who has a lot of people thinking that it's a hard thing to do. We have a hard time being silent and waiting for the Lord. I've heard it said that nature abhors a vacuum in the same way many people abhor quiet. They struggle with silence. I read an article about a medical doctor who was at a seminar, and one of the discussion group leaders asked a question to which nobody had an immediate answer. And so he waited and waited and waited. And then finally somebody gave an incorrect answer, but that sparked a discussion. So this guy went up to the speaker after the conference and said, "Wow, you handled that pretty well. That moment of silence, it must have went on for 5 minutes." And he says, "No, it was 30 seconds. He goes, "Wow, it seemed a lot longer than that." I did this when we were still up at the cabin. I asked everybody to just be quiet for 30 seconds. Oh man, people were fidgeting in their seats and everything. 30 seconds. Because in the book of Revelation, it says that there was silence in heaven for how long? I forgot. An hour? I don't know if we could do that. Why do we think that it's so long for 30 seconds or a minute? Because many people abhor silence. They'll do just about anything to fill the emptiness because too much quiet is unsettling to us. You step into your car, you turn on the car, the engine, and immediately the radio comes on. And it stays on until you're done driving. I heard of a man this week who said his mother gets up, the first thing she does is turn on the TV, and she leaves it on all day, even though she doesn't watch it, and she doesn't turn it off until she goes to bed. We don't like silence in our house. There are people that run or walk, and they have those things in their ears, those earbuds, and they're in their own little world when they're running, but they have to have noise in their ears. There's music and all kinds of noise that bombard us all the time. At department stores, especially now, the day after Thanksgiving, Christmas music is playing already. I think a day before Christmas is when they should start playing Christmas songs. Not a month. Anyway. At department stores, at malls, in restaurants, at the grocery store, at Walmart, even in elevators, they have elevator music. People seem to feel the need to fill every waking moment with noise. It's like they can't stand to be around any noise or be around any silence. But that's not always true. One expert noted that people only feel comfortable when being silent when they're in the presence of someone that they admire. Someone that they're comfortable with. And when those people, it's nothing to just sit and say nothing. Watch a young boy and a girl out on a date. They'll just sit there forever and just look at each other and not say anything. Or a husband and wife who are deeply in love and they can feel totally at ease sitting at the table and not saying anything. Be still and know that I am God. And the only way that you can start being silent around God is if you're comfortable in his presence. Or if you want to learn how to be comfortable in his presence. See, the way to learn to be truly comfortable in God is to start practicing being quiet in his presence. Years ago, I attended, and this is many, many years ago, I attended a seminar on prayer. And preachers often attend seminars and they don't really learn anything that they don't already know. But this one teacher was giving us some great advice on how to be silent and on prayer. And he asked, how many of us have been parents? And a lot of us raised our hands. There's a little feedback. Sounds like I'm in a tank. Or you're in the tank with me. There you go. All right. But he asked how many of us were parents. And he noticed that most of us that had parents had their kids come and crawl up on their laps. And a lot of times their kids would crawl up on their laps and just sit there and just talk away. They would talk about something that they didn't understand. They would ask question after question, why this? But every once in a while, a child would just crawl up into your lap and just want to sit there and not say anything. They just want to be held. They just want to feel love. They just want to be by you. Oh, that feeling is great. I miss that out of everything that with my kids. I miss that feeling the most of just having my son and my daughter on my lap and just holding them. They don't want anything, but you would give them anything that they wanted just because they're so sweet. It's like when they're sleeping, that's the best time. They're just perfect little angels. This action just says, I love you. I trust you. I'm safe with you. And there's nothing in this world that compares to that feeling. And us as parents know that. But when people pray, what do they usually do? They ask God for things, right? And there's nothing wrong with asking God for something. I mean, that's what part of what prayer is. Because God tells us, you don't have because you don't ask, in James 4. Jesus taught us in Matthew 7, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. He expects us to ask him for things. And there's nothing wrong with asking God for something in prayer. And I'm not trying to encourage us, well, next time you pray, don't ask for anything, just be quiet. But you can imagine what it'd be like for God as one of his kids just come up to him and say, I don't want anything. I just want to be in your presence. I just want to sit on your lap and just be in your presence and just feel the love. Imagine how that makes God feel. Well, how could we do a thing like that? How is that possible? Well, the speaker of that seminar suggested a couple of things. First, he noted that the Bible characters all had different positions of praying. Some folks would lay prostrate on the ground. Elijah bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. I don't know if I could do that anymore. All others would lift up their hands in praise. And I've said this before, I've seen the progression of this church to where we are getting more comfortable with raising our hands. It's not a Pentecostal or charismatic thing. It's just offering your praise, offering all of you to all of God, and just saying, here I am, I surrender, I give you all of me. That's a great thing to see. And I've noticed people said afterwards, they said, your church is just really excited. And it's like, yeah. We need to cut back the consumption of caffeine on Jack when he gets up here in the morning. But because if he gets any more excited, we're all in trouble, I'll tell you. But the speaker suggested that you hold out your hands like you're holding God's hands. And then that does something to you. You can kind of sense that you're in the presence of God. And you don't ask for anything. You don't say anything. You just hold out your hands. Just sit there or lie there or visualize yourself holding God's hands. So on the way from home from the seminar, I was driving down this road and I started praying and I left my eyes open and I just visualized God sitting in the next seat to me and I just put my hand over there. It was an amazing feeling. It's like, God, I know you're here. You know, when the bumper sticker said that God is the co-pilot. Actually, he should be the pilot. We should be sitting in the passenger seat. Yeah, I know. I think it'll happen once. But doing things like this isn't about putting in your time or a ritual that you have to do. It just gets your mind in the mindset to where you just start thinking more about God and that you are actually in his presence. Because I think a lot of times we think that God is so far off and so far away that maybe he can't even hear us. But I guarantee you that he's in this room right now. His power and his presence is here. So think of it as like a gift that you're giving to God. There's been times when I come to the church here and there's nobody around and I'll just stand up and I'll just raise my hands towards, I'll be looking this way. And it's just, you know, I'll keep them up for as long as I can, which isn't a whole long time anymore because the older you get, the heavier your arms get. And so then you just kind of, you know, and you just stand there. But I think it does something to me because it gets me in the spirit where I'm in God's presence. And it's an intimate time with God. And then I found that all my other prayer time is enhanced because I'm just in his presence, not asking him for anything, just enjoying his company, his power, his working in our lives and in this church. So this isn't about attaining a certain level of righteousness. You don't become more righteous if you do this, if you do it at all. It's not a requirement. It's just some way to help us to connect with God on a deeper level. Do you understand that? Does that make sense? Okay. Just by spending time with him and really not even communicating with him, but our spirit connects with his spirit, and he knows that we are trying something to get into his presence. Okay? But then I found out there's a couple of things that you encounter when you try to be silent. First, my mind begins to drift, begins to wander. Anybody else? I mean, you start out really good for 20 seconds. Then you're thinking about a football game or a call that you have to make or somebody knocks at the door and I have to go to the bathroom now and what am I going to eat? And I mean, your mind just, doesn't it? It just, you think about everything. Well, I want to think about God. Okay, it just doesn't work. And before you know it, your mind is so far away from God. So one of the things I've tried to do is to pray through the alphabet. I did a sermon on this. I did my past with the alphabet, and then I did my present with the alphabet. You start thinking about how bad you were. You were an abuser. You were a belittler. You were a cusser. You know, you go through the whole alphabet. I tried doing this with praising God through the alphabet. A, you're the Alpha and the Omega. B, you're the beginning and the end. C, you're the creator. You go all the way through to Z. Q's and X's get a little difficult, but make up a word. Just thank God. Q, oh, you're quite remarkable. You're extraordinary to me. You know, but just go through the alphabet or just go through a list of things that you're thankful for. You can start with A, I'm thankful for apples. What? I'm thankful for anything that you give me. I'm thankful, you know, and just think of ways that you can connect with God on a deeper level. That's all I'm trying to say, okay? And it's not like if you do this, you're going to benefit greatly from it, but I think that there will be some benefit to it because you are purposefully trying to get to God in a more intimate way. Does that make sense? Okay? But there's another problem. You don't do this quiet thing just to feel closer to God, because there are times when you feel that you don't deserve to be in his presence. And we've all had that. I'm not doing this because I deserve to come into his presence. I'm not doing it. I'm doing it because I need to come into his presence. And I think a lot of times when we start trying to get close to the Lord, the enemy is going to try to come in and say, you're not worthy of this. Look what you did just last week. Look what you did just a minute ago. You don't deserve to be in his presence. Well, that may be true, but God says, come to me, all you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. God invites us into his presence. So I need to be in his presence. And when you start thinking on that truth, the more comfortable you are spending time with him, just like this, right? Just being still and know that I am God. And what I found is God reminds us to be still in his presence. Psalm 4:4 says, when you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Lately, the last couple of weeks, I've been waking up about 2, and I can't go to sleep for 2 hours, so I pray. Judy goes, if you were caught up on your prayer life, he wouldn't have to wake you up at 2. But as long as you get it in somewhere, you know, it's going to be all right. So I'm trying to pray while I'm awake as opposed to having to wake up and pray. But then that's not all bad because you're in a different state. You know, it's really, it's quiet. There's no noise. There's nothing going on. And that would be a perfect time when God wakes you up. Just lift up your hands. Just lift up your heart and just say, Lord, I know you're there. I want to be still. I want you to tell me what you're doing and what I can do. Isn't that cool? I mean, because like I said, a lot of times we think that God is way out there and that's not going to work. But he's right there. He's laying in bed with you. Do you ever think of that? God's in bed with you. Wow. Psalm 27, 14 declares, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. These are commands. He's not saying, if you feel like it, try waiting. But see, we have this whole idea that waiting is just to sit down on our hands, twiddle our thumbs, and do nothing. But waiting is a verb kind of like faith, where it activates your heart and your mind, and you're waiting for God to do something or answer something. It's not just an act of idleness, right? Wait on the Lord. Wait and see. The only time I remember hearing that when growing up is wait till your dad gets home. And you would wait. You wouldn't just sit around, you'd be pacing. Psalm 62, 2 and 5 says, David says, truly God is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. And one of my favorites is Isaiah 40, 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. For those of us that are 60 and older, see, I can look at you now and say that. But this is a great verse, for he's our strength as we get older. You're going to find that out, brother. But we need to be still. We need to be quiet. We need to learn to wait on God. And you know why people have such a problem with that? It's because when things are quiet, it feels so empty. It feels so empty. We have this idea that God's not there and he's not doing anything if it's quiet. We need some kind of noise. It's like God's rattling pots and pans and we know he's busy doing something. But when there's quiet, it's like, where is he? What's he doing? Why is he not paying attention to me? Oh, he's probably worried about people over in Afghanistan or in Iraq or something. But what about in Gilpin County? No, it's probably not that big of a deal. Want to bet? Be still and know that I am God. It's like we get this idea that it's meaningless to have quiet in our lives. It feels like God's not there and not doing anything. One college professor put it this way, when you think nothing is happening, be assured with God something is happening. He is not sitting idly by. God is always busy doing something. Always. Psalm 37, 5 says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. But sometimes we get in such a rush and we do things on our own timetable and we forget God's timetable. And if you haven't learned by now, our time is not God's time. He's not on the same schedule. He doesn't have the same calendar. He doesn't have a watch. He doesn't say, all right, if you don't do it by this time, it's not going to happen. We think that when we ask God for something, it needs to happen right now. We are such a microwave society, but God is a crockpot God. Right? I was talking to my son-in-law the other day or once, and when you put something in the microwave for a minute, do you ever wait for it to ding? Not even a minute. You stand there going, come on, for 1 minute. And you open it up before it dings. It's like there's 10 seconds left. It's like, gosh, I can't even wait a minute. Oh. Sometimes we can become like the man who prided himself on being exceedingly punctual. Every day for 8 years, he followed the very precise routine every morning. His alarm went off at 6:30. He'd get up, shave, shower, and eat his breakfast. He'd brush his teeth, picked up his briefcase, got into his car, ride the ferry across the river. Then he'd get off the ferry, walk into his office building, get on the elevator, ride it to the 17th floor, and sit down in his chair at precisely 8 a.m. Every day for 8 years, he did that. Then, one morning, his alarm didn't go off, and he overslept 15 minutes, and he was panic-stricken. He rushed to the shower. He nicked himself shaving. He gulped down his breakfast, grabbed his briefcase, jumped into his car, and sped down to the ferry landing. He got out of the car, saw the ferry just a few feet from the dock, and he said to himself, I think I can make this. And he ran down the dock, made an enormous leap, and landed with a thud on the deck of the ferry. Well, the captain rushed down to make sure he was all right and said this, man, that was a tremendous leap. I've never seen anything like it before. But if you would have just waited 1 minute, we would have been at the dock. And you could have just walked on. See, that's what I was hoping for the first one. But people misjudge the distance between God and themselves. There was an old song many, many years ago. It was like the Grand Canyon between me and God. Sometimes we felt real close, and then other times it was like the Grand Canyon between God and us. And I think that a lot of times if we don't practice this art of being quiet and still before the Lord, there's this great chasm fixed between us. You know what I'm saying? We just get out of tune with God, and I just want us to get into God's lap and just let him hold us. We don't say anything. We don't ask for anything. There's a time and a place for that, but I think that we just need to be in his lap and just let it do it. And as I was working on the sermon, it occurred to me that this being still is kind of like an Eastern religion, yoga and meditation, where people just sit around and contemplate their navels. One website promotes yoga, said it this way, what is meditation? One of my favorite answers is simple, nothing. That's what happens when you meditate, nothing at all. That's what meditation is, the art of doing nothing. But when God calls us to be still, he's not asking us to do nothing. I remember years ago, we tried to do some meditation, some yoga. The exercise of yoga is fine. The concept behind yoga is satanic, I believe, because it wants you to empty out your mind. Ooh. And when you empty your mind, it can be a bad thing. But anyway, I'll save that for the end. But he's not asking us to focus on anything or nothing. You remember what God says we need to focus on? Be still and know that I am God. That's what we need to focus on. And so not only does nature abhor a vacuum, so does our soul. If you don't fill yourself with God, something else is going to fill it. Jesus told us when an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. Jesus is saying you just can't empty yourself out and expect everything to be good. Your soul will not permit a vacuum. If you don't fill yourself with God, something else will fill you up with it. And you're not going to like the end result. I think that's where a lot of people get in trouble. They empty their minds. God is never anywhere in the Bible does it say, empty your mind. Fill your thoughts, fill your minds with me. Fill me, fill me with more of you. That's what we need to be asking God. Not just, Lord, take everything out of my mind. For man, it wouldn't be hard because we think about nothing an awful lot. But still, we still have God in there. And we need more of him, more of him. A preacher was asking his people in a congregation what their favorite Bible verse was. And of course, everybody has this favorite verse that speaks to them. But one of the young ladies answered, shook him. She had palsy, and there were times that she would shake uncontrollably. She raised her hand and said, my favorite verse is, be still and know that I am God. Here was a woman whose body would never seem to allow her to be still, and yet that's what her great goal in life. That's what she longed for, just to know God and have him still her heart, to give her his peace. One person said it this way. Sometimes God stills the storm for his child, and sometimes he stills the storm in his child. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you invite us, that you ask us, that you command us to be still and to know that you are God. And in our hectic pace in this world, the way it is going, Lord, help us to take time to just be still and know that you are God. Help us to put our minds in a place where we just think of you, just spend time in your presence, just allow you to speak to our hearts and our spirits and our minds and our souls. Lord, you're doing amazing things, and we know that there are times that we need to ask you for things. And Lord, there's a time and a place for that, but I pray that we would take the time to just be silent before you, to just wait on you, and to allow you to speak words and volumes of life-changing things into our hearts and our minds. Lord, help us to see you high and lifted up. Help us to enter into your courts with praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you're doing, and we just praise you for your love and your goodness towards us. And yes, there are times that we feel that we don't deserve it, but Lord, just like Jack said this morning, you are faithful. You always are faithful. And we never have to doubt your faithfulness towards us, that when you say that you're going to do something, it is going to happen. And so we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for working in each one of our hearts and our lives. And regardless of the circumstances, the situations, Lord, we just praise you. And we ask that as you take us through this period of time, these different chapters and different seasons in our lives, that we would just take time out and let you be God in our lives. And we give you the praise, and we ask all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Ah, did I tell you about the circuit rider? Okay.
I thought there was a little more to it. You missed it.
You missed it.
Yeah,
I understood it, but when he said, is there a saddle with it?
Because he wasn't thinking about it.
He wasn't. Yeah,
okay. Now, it's one of those time delay jokes. When you go home, you'll think of it and you'll laugh. Just call me up and tell me you laughed, and they'll make my day. So, God bless you guys. Remember, 3 o'clock this afternoon. Come and join us. Let's pray.